Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to continue to look at what Jude taught about a final description of the heretics. So let's open our Bibles and read Jude 16 again together. These are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. Now, in this verse, Jude says that the false teachers who creep into the church to deceive the simple are five things. They're grumblers. Number two, they're those who find fault. Number three, they're those who follow their own lusts. Number four, they're those who speak arrogantly. And number five, they are those who flatter people for the sake of gaining an advantage. Now, we've gone over the first two descriptions listed in verse 16. Today, I want to start looking at the third description that God the Holy Spirit inspired Jude to write to us concerning the deceivers. They are those who follow their own lusts. Now, this description of the heretics is a very vivid one. In a self-centered manner, the false teachers are at odds with God because they follow their own lusts. God's Word says that born-again believers are not to be driven by our own carnal lusts, but we are to be led by God's Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." And the fifth chapter of Galatians gives us special insight into this. Let's read Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." Now, the deceivers that Jude was describing here cannot walk by or in the Spirit because they're not saved. And so since they cannot be led by God's Spirit, they are left to be driven by their own lusts. And this illustrates the point that anytime we abandon the truth of God's Word, we are left with nothing but our own fleshly desires. As I have told you many times in this study of Jude, no one has to be taught how to rebel. We rebel by nature because we are selfish and fallen people by nature. And while it is true that no one has to be taught how to rebel, we do have to be taught how to obey. Obedience does not come naturally to human beings. Rebellion comes naturally, but not obedience. Obedience is based in love and submission and a changed heart. Rebellion is based in the fallen urge that we have to be our own master and our own God. Therefore, obedience and the beauty behind obedience must be taught. It must be learned. It must be put into practice by a heart and a mind that loves God, or else it won't happen. No one has to teach anybody to hate or to desire vengeance or to be self-willed. We do all those things naturally, because we are living in a fallen fleshly body. Even those who are saved struggle every day against these impulses. So, on a good day, we all have various degrees of success with our flesh and our emotions and our desires, and that is due to our new godly nature doing battle with our sinful flesh. So the last thing that anybody who is serving God needs is to fuel the fleshly, carnal, sinful, and self-centered desires that do battle against the Spirit of God. Anything that promotes our own self, such as self-esteem, self-help, self-sufficiency, self-fulfillment, anything that promotes or encourages or feeds the self of man is by default going to hurt, hinder, or reduce our ability to please God. Feeding ourself is going to increase that which we do battle with, and it will be counterproductive to walking by the Spirit. This is precisely why the Bible teaches that discipline and self-control is mandatory if we are to walk above the things of this life. Without the cutting off of the food that feeds our carnal desires, we will live perpetually in a defeated life. So the Bible promotes things that feed our spirit, our inner man, and not necessarily our flesh. The Bible is all about strengthening us in the inner man, so that we may please God and bring honor and glory to Him, not building up our fleshly tabernacle so we can feel better about ourselves. The inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of the living God is a wonderful blueprint of how to serve Christ and how to honor God and how to glorify the Lord and how to become someone who is used by God for God's glory alone. This is what the Reformers meant when they instituted the concept of sola dea gloria. That our duty, our responsibility, our assignment, our charge, our obligation, and our honor, privilege, and joy is to bring glory to God in all that we do, in all that we say, in all that we think, and to bring glory to God alone. Saved people seek no glory for themselves. We seek only to bring glory to God. The Bible is not now and never has been a tool for selfish and self-centered people to take parts of Scripture out of context so they can justify materialism and greed and self-centeredness and to build up and promote lust and the carnal urge that we all have to be our own little gods. Since all false teaching is of the devil, all false teaching accomplishes the will of the devil and never and can never accomplish the will of God. Now, when I say that, I'm fully aware that many people follow false teaching blindly and without even knowing it. So have I. So I'm not attacking anyone who is deceived by false teaching, but I am attacking the false teaching. Many people are very sincere in what they are doing, and I'm not impugning their sincerity, nor am I even questioning their motive. But if we're talking about eternal matters, close doesn't count. This isn't horseshoes, and leaners won't get you in. The Bible says that unless a man is truly born again by the Spirit of God, then he cannot enter into heaven. That's what Jesus said. So if a false teaching says that there is another way, then while we do not have the right or the power to judge another man's heart or even question his motives, we do have the right and we have the responsibility to cry out against that false teaching so as to warn those who are following it so they can reject it and turn to Jesus. We must understand, friends, that all false teaching is geared to building up carnal urges and sinful desires like covetousness and the craving that we all have to become somebody important. Heretics manipulate our human tendency to want to be first, to sit in the best seats, to be recognized, to receive praise, to feel superior, to become wealthy, to own lots of things, to control circumstances, and to be in charge. These sentiments are all inherent in our fallen nature and came about as the result of the fall, but they are never productive for godliness, nor do they glorify the Lord. But these false teachings feel good. They temporarily satisfy a need. They cause us to experience some measure of personal fulfillment. They validate our efforts. Some heresy is very logical. It's pragmatic. Some of them make sense to the natural mind. Many of them bring about measurable, temporary, earthly benefits to us personally. But all of them complete our fallen urge to sit on the throne of God and to be in competition with God. That is why the false teachings of the deceivers are so popular. This is why they are so easily accepted. This is why we are so ready to put their teachings into practice. Like I said earlier, you don't have to teach anybody to do wrong. We will do wrong instinctively. But if we are to serve God, and if we are to serve God on God's terms and not our own terms, if we are to follow Jesus based upon His standards and not ours, if we are to walk with God in the prescribed manner that He has clearly set forth in Scripture, then we will go God's way, regardless of the personal cost to us. Remember, it's not about us, or is it? When the defining moment comes, when we realize that the clear, accurate teaching of Scripture conflicts with our own personal theology, we are left with only two options. Either we will humbly turn from those false teachings out of our earnest desire to please the Lord, and we will embrace the truth regardless of how negatively it may affect us personally, or we will hold on to that which personally benefits us, and we will ignore the truth. You see, Christian friends, a teaching is not from God simply because it works. Neither is a teaching from God simply because it benefits us to some degree here on the earth. That is not the measurement that we use to validate a teaching. Teaching that comes from the mind and the heart and the very breath of God is firmly based in Scripture and in Scripture alone, and will bring glory to God and God alone. And it will prepare men to eternally stand before God blameless. Teaching that comes from the mind and the heart and the corrupt lusts of fallen man will promote man to the exclusion of God, because it is birthed in human logic, human wisdom, human ingenuity, human reasoning, and attempts only to gratify temporary desires right now. Jude says that the heretics walk after their own lusts, and their teachings promote that very thing, but contrary to the heretics of Jude's day and the heretics of our day, the Bible is all about strange-sounding things like mortifying the deeds of our body, crucifying our flesh, denying ourselves and taking up our cross daily, decreasing so that Christ may increase, glorying in our infirmities, glorying in tribulations, being content with food and raiment, enduring chastening, endure inflictions without murmuring, endure hardness, suffer reproach, suffer trouble, suffer persecution, suffer affliction, suffer adversity, suffer the word of exhortation, suffer patiently, suffer for righteousness' sake, suffer for well-doing, suffer as a Christian, and suffer according to the will of God. What the Bible teaches is not popular today, but it has never been popular with the masses of humans on earth. But only the teachings of Scripture are true, and only Scripture is everlasting, and everything that disagrees with Scripture is a lie. And everyone who teaches contrary to Scripture is a liar. The Bible teaches what it teaches for a very simple reason. This world is not our home. This earth was never meant to give us total fulfillment, or total joy, or total satisfaction. There is another place where we will experience all of that, in heaven, in the very presence of Almighty God. So the Bible prepares us for that day. What the heretics teach prepares us to have our best life now. But the Bible teaches us to get ready to worship God forever in heaven with clean hands and a pure heart. The teachings of the heretics appeal to the prurient nature of greed, arrogance, pride, and self-gratification, while the Bible appeals to the glory of God. The picture of the fruit of heresy is slick and attractive and prosperous, but the picture of the fruit of truth is the old rugged cross that is despised by the world. So if we are to obey Christ and bring glory and honor to God alone, we must be taught, and we must be taught rightly, and we must be willing to humble ourselves to the authority of Scripture so that we know that we are faithful to what it says. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.